Yud Zion on the top numbers. The first one in the line is mitzvahs. It's just about a third of the way from the bottom of the page. We're starting with Afal Pi Kein. We are talking about the definition of the Beinoni. And a Beinoni is, as we know from chapter 1 already, is a person who doesn't even waste time. And here he goes into greater length and explaining that the Yetzirah, the animal soul, is never afforded an opportunity to gain dominion or even access into the body. The godly soul is always on guard, such that when something's going to incur an arousal of the animal soul, that the godly soul pushes it back down. And this person will never sin, because he will never be called a Rasha. He is a Beinoni. If he's called if he sins every once in a while, slips up, so he's called a Rasha V'Tovlo, which we talked about in chapter 11, so he says, but he's not called a tzaddik. Afal pi kein einu nikra tzaddik klal. The Beinoni is not a tzaddik. Because the advantage that this Beinoni has with his godly soul illuminating over the darkness and the foolishness of the klippa, which is pushed away automatically, is only in the three garments. He did say at the top of the page that at auspicious times like the davening, if the guy's really focused and really in the groove, so then he is tzaddik-like. But the difference between him and a tzaddik is that a tzaddik, it sticks around, and with him, as soon as he closes the book, it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay?
As soon as he loses focus.
Correct. Okay, but he's not going to go. He's not going to say, "I got a really good davening," and he goes and starts doing things wrong.
Right.
That's not it at all. No. But what's the difference here is that he only the real basic definition between a Beinoni and a tzaddik is that a Beinoni can only control his conscience, whereas a tzaddik is in control over all aspects of his soul. And a tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara, is the Yetzer Tov. And we spoke about this, I believe, when we talked about the different levels of tzaddik.
Right.
Whereas in a Beinoni, the inclination to do wrong is still the inclination to do wrong.
Correct.
And it is, he says, he uses the terms, and it is Berka Eish Ketal Dasi. It is burning like a fire, like the day he was born.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got it under control. And that's a good thing. This is later on in chapter 29. He talks about in chapters 26 through 34. He talks about depressions and malaises and melancholy and these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this person's depressed because he's not a tzaddik.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the first thing he says is, and who do you think you are?
Right.
That you should get depressed that you're not a tzaddik. And he says, halavai, you should be a Beinoni. it should only be that way. But then he says, and then to comfort yourself, that here it is, a person's working his whole life and trying to control himself, and he never ever gets it. Is this a bad thing? No. It says there are two types of taste that people like. We have them both represented in today's class. One of them is sweet.
Yes.
And the other one is spicy.
Spicy, that's right.
Okay. Sweet, you don't have to do anything to. You could put your finger in a bowl of sugar and go like this and put it in your mouth,
and
that's fine. Okay, because sweet is already sweet. It's already it excites the right part of your mouth and the taste buds and say, hey, this is okay. Unlike spicy, one of the most wretched, and actually using the correct definition of the word wretched is something that causes you to retch, which means like to lose your cookies,
right.
Would be fresh horseradish.
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you take a fresh horseradish root and just take a bite out of it,
yeah,
you will lose your cookies.
Come real close to losing
okay?
your cookies.
So what happens is if you, it does more than burns, your body says, get this out of here.
You get a head rush.
Yeah. You know? It doesn't. There is a reason why it talks about in Shulchan Aruch on the first day of Pesach that if you lose your matzah because of the maror, you got to do the whole thing over again. Right. You know, because there could be a propensity to it. I'm always disappointed every year because my horseradish roots taste like straw.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I've had 2 years, two out of the so many, that it was actually horseradish. The rest of it's always been straw.
Yeah. So the... So we can't, but what happens now is you take that horseradish and you grate it up, you mix it with a little bit of vinegar, some sugar, some salt, and maybe some beets over there, and you put it on your fish and it blows the top of your head off and everybody goes, oh, that's so delicious, as the tears are coming out of their eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what you had to do there is you had to fix it up in order to make it to taste good.
Right.
Tzaddik is sweet. You don't have to do too much with a tzaddik.
Right.
He's just on automatic pilot.
Right.
He's going. He's on cruise. He's doing. And God says, "Yeah, I can get that." Such that it even says that we said in the first chapter, "Tzaddik yisod olam," that it could be just for the merit of one righteous person that the world is kept in existence.
Wow.
Because Hashem says, "Yeah, I like that." But then there's the other person, the person who's got to sit and has got to work on himself, and Hashem says, "Yeah." Salsa. Look at you. I like that too. Okay? So a person should be happy that he's making Hashem happy by the fact that he's salsa. He's not a cupcake. He will never be a cupcake. Okay? He's a salsa.
Good.
What's the Indian, the green stuff they make in India or China? That's really hot.
I don't know, from Schug. And it can't be more hot. It couldn't be hotter. I did have some of that stuff once.
No, it's hotter in Schuch.
I went to an Indian restaurant with two guys. There was four of us. It was in New York.
Man, like that stuff will tear
25 years ago. And it had, next to the item, it had the number of...
curry paste.
It had a number of bells next to it.
Right.
And five bells meant, like, you really don't want to put this in your mouth. And
Right.
I ordered these deep fried five biller hot green peppers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of yogurt consumed, let me tell you. Yes.
Yeah.
Those are good.
They were good. They were deep fried, crunchy.
Yeah.
And you crunch into them, you get that, like, they had that lentil paste coating on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you dip it in the yogurt, and you just suddenly get this, like, oh, my body's on fire. Delicious. Anyway, I'm shocking.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the difference, is that he is constantly waging war. And his essence, he's only got control of the three garments of the soul, thought, speech, and action. Mm-hmm. And that his essence and being does not dominate over the essence and being of the klippa. Klippa takes a look at him and says, huh, yeah, what kind of hotshot are you?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been here before, I've seen tougher guys than you, and the only thing that he can do at that point is to say, you know, hey, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll take you and your big brother.
Yeah.
So, and it's a constant battle. Because the essence and being of the animal soul, which is coming from klippa, which is in the left ventricle, it did not move at all once the guys stopped davening. When it was that he was in the middle of davening, we use the example of like the volcanic rush coming from the godly soul into the animal soul and getting the animal soul all excited. But then when the davening's over and the rush is gone, so the animal soul says, okay, I'm firing the jets up. But that after davening, such a fiery, flaming, desirous love is not revealed in his heart, b'chol, you mean in the right side where the godly soul is, ki im teike rats of avamasateris. He's going to talk about this at great length in chapters 18 through 25. But what is there? There's the remains of what's called the hidden love, which is a natural love of the godly soul. Kamosha Kosel Lekamach is explained later. By the mere fact that we are Jews, so embedded in our DNA is something called love of Hashem. We can't get rid of it. We can call on it at times. And that's what he talks about in 18 to 25, is how to arouse that. Okay. But he's saying, so here now, so the guy's davening. And when he's davening, he's like on fire. And what happens after he's davening? So does he go back to becoming a slob? No. Why not? He's not thinking about Hashem directly. He's not engaged in meditation. He's not focused on Hashem and like he is when he's davening. And the answer is, it's the genetics.
Okay. The genetics got aroused.
Correct. The genetics are there all the time, and they're what's keeping him on the straight and narrow. Okay, and that's what's called a natural love. You know, you love your mother even though you're not thinking about her.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a natural love, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's there. Okay, and the person's going to think about why he loves his mother and this. So he'll bring the love of his mother to the forefront. But even when he's not thinking about it, he still loves his mother.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Why, your mom's so bad?
No, the truth is I'm a living testimony to that particular statement because from my, I actually met my mother in earnest when I was 18. And at that point, it was a natural love.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen her once or twice before for a week or so.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I actually met her when I was 18. So, yeah, it's a mammoth.
That's why you like her so much.
Yeah.
You'd have grown up with her. You'd be like the rest
right,
of us.
Right, yeah.
You'd be like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You only know your mother as an adult.
Yeah.
I know my mother as a kid. And, yeah. You know, just like, forget that. Forget that noise. Anyway. So you got this natural love. So then what will happen is all the foolishness is going to come revealed in the left side of the heart. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have desires for all kinds of physical things.
Yeah.
That he might not necessarily need.
Or want.
Or really want, yes. Gashmis oilam azeh. Bein beheter, bein beisser. Whether it be permitted or whether it's going to be forbidden. Now, for a person who's in the groove like this to suddenly start thinking that he wants something forbidden, it's very unusual that the altar would put it in. And because what? I mean, you're driving up Coolidge, and you just pass 11 Mile, and you pass a large building on the left side of the street with the statue of the lady in front of it.
Mm.
And how often have you thought, man, I really would like to go in there?
Never.
Never. Never. Just, never. Just, never.
Never. Like as in... never.
Never. It's like, it never, like, you would have to stop. You stop and thinking, what building is he talking about? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there one there? I didn't even notice it, you know, so. We don't, it's not something that, once we tell ourselves it's forbidden, I mean, you don't have to be a Benini.
No.
And I once, when the internet was just getting started, I think it was like 1992, maybe 1991. So internet access was unusual. You had to go like to the university libraries to get on the internet.
Mm.
And you had to have like special passes, and it can only be for certain persons and certain people, and it cost a bundle. I had to do research for somebody and to go on Prodigy. And every internet search costs like $2.
Gee whiz.
And by the time I got done, it was like a $400 bill because, you know, when you go, when you need to do something on online now, you go flip, flip, flip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's no big deal now. Then it was like, it was unbelievable. So I had spent the better part of 7 hours in the Wayne State Library.
Right.
Doing this stuff. Okay. I came out, I gotta go, oh no. Okay, and I ran out, and it was about 5:15. And if you're familiar with the Wayne State campus setup, right directly opposite the main entrance of the library is the Student Union building. Mm. And in the Student Union are various and sundry fast food restaurants that are vented towards the library.
Of course.
Okay.
But on purpose.
Of course. I'm sure it's on purpose.
Of course it's on purpose.
And I said to myself, I'm not patting myself on the back, but this is just like, you know, I said, Baruch Hashem, I keep kosher, because otherwise I'd be really tempted to go and buy some of that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not coming into my head that I should go do something which is forbidden.
Right.
Like that. Okay. No, we're not even talking about the little things, you know, like the talking in shul things. Oh, I suddenly have a big desire to go talk in shul. No, so it says, so why does he put it in? And it says that really and honestly, a person can never trust themselves. Even a Benini. A Benini can't say, well, I'll never do that. Because what happens is all the Yetzer Hara has to do is just get the person leaning.
Yeah.
It's like arm wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, if you do arm wrestling, you know, once you got the guy just past like 80 degrees one way off the 90,
it's done.
He's through. All you just need is just a little lean. Unless the guy's like super strong,
right. Then
he's down. He's gone. And all it was just a little bit of giving into the weakness of.
Yeah.
But the Yetzer Hara is not going to come and say, listen, we want you to go reserve a seat at Fat Lady Church on the corner.
Right.
It's going to say, listen, you know, today we want you to talk in shul.
Right.
And tomorrow we want you to talk a little bit more in shul. And the next day the rabbi's going to come over and he's going to say, could you stop talking in shul? And you're going to get all in a huff. How could I not talk in shul? And you're going to storm out and never go to that shul ever again. And then you find another shul. And then what happens is eventually, I don't want to say it, but
it
could happen.
God forbid.
Okay, and a person can never let their guard down because that's what the animal soul and the Yetzer Hara were put here for.
Yeah.
And they don't, it's like the...
Salvation's in the details.
The expression, is that a Jewish statement?
No.
Okay. The Yetzer...
I made it up.
Okay. This is the...
nice cover.
The Yetzer Hara, the animal soul doesn't have a Yetzer Hara telling it, don't do what you're supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
It's programmed to do what it's going to do 100% of the time. It cannot do anything else. That's all the animal soul and the Yetzer Hara do. So if that's all they're programmed for, and how long is their program? 120 years.
Yeah.
The classic example is Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was 80 years a Kohen Gadol. Do you know what that means, 80 years a Kohen Gadol? That means he went into Kodesh HaKadoshim 240 times. There were people who walked into Kodesh HaKadoshim and dropped dead.
Once, right.
And didn't even make it in the front door before they dropped dead. And he walked in and walked out of Kodesh HaKadoshim 240 times.
That's all.
The last year of his life, he said the whole thing is nonsense and he gave it all up. And he became a Tzaduki. Okay, so what can you say? This is a guy who saw. He had the greatest privilege of the greatest revelation
right. In
this earth, on this earth, and said, you know what? People are just making it up.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of hooey. How could such a thing happen? How do we know?
Because there's a Yetzer Hara.
There's a Yetzer Hara. The story is further exemplified that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua and a couple other people were walking on the road from, it was either Jerusalem, Yerushalayim to Yericho to Tveria, one of those like roads. And they saw walking to them, towards them, King Menashe. King Menashe was probably listed as the absolute worst king in Jewish history. Considering that, which really made it better, is he was the son of Chizkiah, and Chizkiah was one of the best. And his son basically did everything possibly wrong that could possibly be done. And Rabbi Akiva asked him, Chizkiah, how could you have led the people astray? Menashe, how could you have led the people so astray? And he said to him, Akiva, my son, when we were there, we walked to the idols. Had you been there, you would have picked up your robes and run.
Right.
So you can't say, how could he have? He asked the same question by the people in the Midbar.
Right.
That every time, from now until the end of the book, you know?
And that's the same thing about Matan Torah.
Yeah. Now until the end of the book, it's like, oh, we should have died. We should have died in Egypt. What do we have to go out for? What do we need this for? What has God done for us lately?
Right.
You know, so Rashi gives the example in, where's the Rashi? Nazas Abraha. And, is it Hazina? I remember for where the Rashi is. Rashi says that they have a little kid, and he's riding on the shoulders of his father, and he's asking people that are walking by, have you seen my father?
Right.
And you're on his shoulders, and finally the father says, you don't know where I am? Here, you walk. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe is very correct, even though the average person doesn't do things wrong. We don't, because we have morals and we know the difference between right and wrong, and we understand to somewhat of a degree the ramifications of it. This is without being a tzaddik, without being a beinoni. Yet the Alter Rebbe says the beinoni has to be on guard, right, that he shouldn't even want to do something that's forbidden.
Right.
Okay. It's as though, well, at this point, once he's done davening, and now his heart is burning for the pleasures of the world, it's as though he never davened at all. Mm-hmm. When it comes to actually doing something wrong, he never actually thinks about actually doing it. But just thinking about doing things wrong, which in a way, I think we mentioned this before, thinking something wrong can be worse than actually doing it. Why? Because we're talking about, we mentioned this, thought, speech, and action. Mm-hmm. You have action is the outer garment, and speech is the middle garment, and thought is the inner garment. In this analogy, so you go outside, you're wearing a raincoat, a shirt, and an undershirt. If the raincoat gets wet, okay. But if your undershirt gets wet, you're miserable. Mm. Okay, so all this person did was, is why? Because it's right next to your skin, it's right next to you. So this person who is thinking things he shouldn't be thinking about, as far as its effect on the soul, it's much more uncomfortable for the godly soul.
Right.
Because the thought is right next to the soul. That's why thought, you can't turn your thought off. Mm-hmm. Because it's an expression of what the soul wants all the time. So this person, every once in a while, so what'll happen is he'll think about doing something wrong, but not that he's thinking about doing it. He's just, engaged in thinking about it for thinking about its sake. Mm. Which even that a person shouldn't do.
Right.
Is it really possible for a person to control what they think? The answer is yes.
To control, yeah.
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 It takes a lot of work, but the answer is yes.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, just like, you don't do everything you want. You don't say everything you want. You stop yourself and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. You stop yourself.
Yeah. Occasionally, okay. Anyway.
So, and same thing also. A person will realize that I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
How to go about not, well, the best way to not think of something that you shouldn't be thinking about is to always be thinking about things that you should.
Yeah.
That already we mentioned last week. That's takes constant work. But the easier way, what happens if a person, it's not easy because you got to be constantly doing it, is the person just tells himself, stop!
Yeah.
The expression, yeah. Push the thought out with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
Just yell at yourself, stop, I don't want to think that.
Right.
You know, move on, get out, get, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, so...
At least we can pretend it's foreign thoughts.
Right. Like the Baal Shem Tov.
I didn't say pretend. You know.
For you, they're right at home.
Yeah, exactly. Right at home for you. Yeah, I didn't say pretend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There are times when I'm just sitting, I'm trying to daven, and suddenly a thought will pop into my head, yeah. And I'll realize what it is that I'm thinking about, and I'll say, touche, that was a real good try, but, yeah, you know... Yeah. Yep. Why did you try that one? Yeah, come up with something better. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. So, because what those thoughts are able to now come into the person's brain, and to confuse them. Kamaima Rizalas, our sages say, what is he trying to do? Listen, this person's in the groove, and he's cooking, and he is just like serving Hashem the way he's supposed to. The Yetzer is not going to roll over and say, ah, we lost this one.
Okay, what a shame.
Yeah, tisk, tisk. We'll try the next guy.
Okay.
Better luck next time.
No, not at all.
No, what happens is it's going to try anything it possibly can. It's going to throw out at everything. And the Yetzer is tailor-made.
Indeed.
What I have desires and taivas for are things that you would think are like totally completely off the wall.
Mm.
And what you have desires for, I would think are total nonsense. Mm. But because yours are made for you.
Right.
Okay, you start thinking about what I would be thinking about in my moments of weakness, then you would just like, what? It would never happen that you would be thinking about such things. Likewise, mm-hmm. me with you, because mine are mine and yours are yours.
Yes, indeed.
As it says, there are three sins which a person is guaranteed to commit every day. Here, Havera, thinking about doing something wrong, tefillah, and losing concentration and davening. And then there's two explanations as to what the third one is. Does he say in English what it is?
He says and so forth. So I'm a little weak on that one. I'm a little weak on that one.
So the third one is either Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
Slanderous gossip. It says down here.
Yeah, Lashon Hara is the third thing, according to one opinion. And according to the other opinion, it just fell out of my head. Thinking about Averas?
Concentration in prayer?
Not concentrating. Not concentrating in prayer. And wasting time.
Wasting time. Yeah.
Wasting time.
I would imagine that, yeah, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
But since there's only three, so I guess if you waste time, you won't be talking Lashon Hara. I don't know. Or maybe Lashon Hara is wasting
time. Maybe that is wasting time. Yeah. Doing both at once.
You can do it in short, then you've done it all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Indeed.
Certainly not a way to pass the time.
Right. Rakshalazem Mayel Harishin. Now, so what's the guy going to do? He's being bombarded. Davening's over. He doesn't have time. What did he do to daven? Is first he got up in the morning. And he got himself to a mikveh. And he sat and he learned chassidus, and then after that he sat and he thought about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said every word by word.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to focus on what the meaning was, and trying to see the godliness in his davening. And so that whole time, the animal soul's not bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens now, so he's out, he's got to go to work. Okay? He's on 696 stuck in traffic. What's he going to do now? Okay, as the road rage builds.
Uh-huh.
This, now what will happen is all that he did, why do we spend so much time in the morning specifically? It's because it's when you're fresh, you have a little bit of time because it's the way you schedule your day. And it will affect, the person's davening will affect their entire day. And it leaves a trace. in his brain, v'yiras Hashem v'avas ha'misuteres b'chol yamini, and it leaves a hidden love and fear in his right ventricle, in his right side of the heart, l'hizgavar l'shalat ha'rah hazeh, in order to dominate and rule over this evil, ha'misavet taivish, which is desiring all these desires. Meaning to say what? All he's got to do is he had a good davening in the morning, which that itself is an oxymoron, because if a person, that's one of those questions you can't answer yes to. Did you have a good davening? Because a good davening means is I felt myself, I lost myself and became totally incorporated in godliness, and lost my existence. So a person can say, yeah, I lost my existence. Yeah, I did that really well.
Works out good, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's
I sure did, yes.
Yes, so, you know.
The eye is in there in the beginning.
That's correct. So that what? So, but that person had a davening, and that davening left a trace, and that trace carried him through the rest of the day. Shelo yesh lo shlitam shelo be'ir. So as there is never any rulership or domination in this city, lo hitziya taivasa mekayach halapoil. To bring that desire from the potential to the actual. Lihislabish be'avoria guf. To enclose itself even in the body, you know, any of the limbs of the body, even in the mayach levada lehira bara, to even just be thinking about it. Ain lay shlitam amshala laharachas v'shalom. He is never allowing any domination. Why? Because he feels it didn't go away. He still can tap in to the love that he had in the morning and think very quickly, you know, this morning I loved Hashem, didn't bother me then, it's not going to be bothering me now. But it's saying that he should willingly be thinking about this thing. That he should be accepting in his mind this bad thought, which is coming from the brain to the heart, from the heart to the brain, as mentioned before. Okay, so that. So that now he is the trace is has able to be enough from what was left over in his morning davening when he was so excited to carry him through this time too, to get him to the road rage on the lodge.
Right.
Okay, it says of all the davening that we do, Hashem likes mincha the best. It's a medrash. You've heard of that one, Shaul?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept.
Why?
It says Hashem's closest to us in mincha time.
Why? Yes, it says that Eliyahu was only answered by mincha, with the whole thing with Eliyahu and the 400 prophets of Baal was at mincha time. What's so special about mincha? Is well, shacharis, you just woke up, you haven't started your day yet. Okay, so you're dedicating that time over there, that's very good. The end of the day, when you're tired and you just want to, you know, get on with it, so you daven a ma'ariv. But what happens, what's mincha? Mincha is that when you stop what you're doing, because it's the middle of the day, and you reconnect to Hashem, in the middle of everything, things are going on all around you, and you say, nope, I'm stopping. I'm connecting to Hashem now. I have a friend who lives in New Jersey, and he's in the business of making money. I have no idea what this guy does. I've known him for 30 years, and he has a business. As far as I know, all he does is make money. I have no idea how he makes his money. I have no idea. Okay, he's got various brachas from the Rebbe. There's all kinds of mices, you know, that he gave. Yeah, one time he gave like $110,000 in cash to take to give to one of his employees to take to the bank, and the guy, you know, of course, disappeared. And they're going to give him a bracha, and 3 days later they found the guy in Massachusetts. I mean, you know, so all kinds of stuff like this. You know, the guy could have really like taken and flown the coop, but he was once. He tells us he had 30 years ago. I remember he had those LCD watches. You pushed a little button and the time came out in red, and the really fancy ones had an alarm on them. Okay, so he had one of those types of watches. Yeah. And it made an annoying noise, the alarm.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had it set at 3:15 because to daven mincha.
Right.
Because that's when the Rebbe davened mincha. That's actually in New York City. That's the time of mincha katana, Mincha Katan is considered the best time to daven Mincha. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's still a long time left in the day, but it's not like Mincha Gedolah, which is just sort of like right after lunch. Right. This is sort of like right smack in the middle of the day, it's Mincha Katana. And that's when Lubavitcher Yeshiva is daven for the most part, and that's when the Rebbe davened. And that's when he davens, because he knew he wasn't going to get to a minyan because of his business, especially in the winter time. Mm-hmm. And so he would daven. He says that if you daven at the same time that you know a minyan is davening, so you can be mitzvah, you can be counted as though you daven, your prayers went up with that minyan.
Uh-huh.
So 3:15, so there he was, he had some kind of business dealings with a Saudi cartel.
Mm-hmm.
And this Saudi, everybody was named Sheikh something or Prince something else.
Uh-huh.
And they were wearing, as the expression goes, the Shmeina Begadim, the full regalia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Complete with the gartels around their forehead. You know, the whole
Perfect, yes.
Okay? So, in the middle of, like, contracts and this and that, you know, haggling it, the alarm goes off. They figure he's in the middle of this meeting, he'll dive in when the meeting's done. So one of these princes asks him, your alarm went off. Do you have to go someplace? So he said, well, not really. He says that usually at 3:15, I do my afternoon prayers. But since we're in the middle of it here, we'll wait until after we finish the meeting. So the Saudi went like this. We'll wait. You pray. So, I mean, usually that's for example, if you're going to stand up for what you do, what you believe in, you know, the world will accommodate you. So,
that's right.
You
got the deal, too. Okay, so he says now, so that's what Mincha is. Mincha is that reattachment.
Yes.
That's why Hashem likes it so much. And how is it possible to reattach? When you think about it, what's Mincha and Ashrei, Shmeina Esrei, Tachlin, and Nalaleinu? Finished.
Yeah.
Done. But it's more than that. It's like, I know you're there, God, and I'm just reminding you that I'm here too.
By the way, I'm still here, you know.
That's it, exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, and that, how could a person, he doesn't have time to sit for, he's going to go to the mikveh again, he's going to sit and learn chassidus for an hour, he's going to think about it, and then he's going to start ashrei.
Right.
By that time, it's going to be ma'ariv.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, no.
And the Saudis left.
Yeah. It's an ashrei, and you say karbanis, whatever, ashrei, shmana esrei, it's you know, the 10 minutes, the 15 minutes, the whole thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it's all supposed to be. So how can you stay focused? And the answer is because you're tapping in on the focus that you had this morning. And that's how you daven mincha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this guy who is now, he's on the lodge, and he's being bombarded with all kinds of everything, and how could he get through this trial and tribulation that he has now? His heart is burning like a fiery flame for things of this world. So rely on the davening. Stop a half a second, not even a second, a half a second. I said, listen, I davened this morning. What did I daven about? And that'll reawaken that thought. That'll reawaken, that will awaken a natural love within him. And he'll be able to say, nah, I don't want that. That's not really the best thing for me. As soon as the thought enters into his mind, he pushes it out with two hands. He said, no, I'm not doing it. Umasir daite. Miyad, Shaniska Shahu Hirora, and he removes his mind from it as soon as he realizes that this is not something you shouldn't be thinking about it. Until the time that he doesn't, until the time that he realizes that he's thinking something that he shouldn't be thinking about, he doesn't realize he's thinking about it.
Mm.
Okay, it's sort of like wasting time. Nobody ever puts down in their calendar that on Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 3:15, I'm going to waste this time. Right.
It's intentionally,
never,
yes.
It's never planned. What happens at 3:15? You look back and say, well, where did that time go?
Exactly.
Okay, so no one's preparing themselves to sit down and think about something wrong. And suddenly the person catches themselves doing it.
Yeah.
And at that moment, well, let's say he'd been thinking about the wrong thing for 30 seconds, which that's really a long time for a person to thinking about anything.
Yeah.
Hmm. When you think about it, how fast our brains work. To suddenly realize, no, I'm not thinking about that. As soon as he does that, that's fine. The Yetzer is trying to sneak one in, and he's saying, no, I'm pushing it out. If he's on a, and he's going to say later on, there are lots of levels of Beinoni. Okay, just like there's lots of levels of Tzaddik, and there's lots of levels of Russia, there's lots of levels of Tzaddik also. And he talks about this in chapter 13. Because you have the guy who's not going to be, he's going to be so quick that the thought never actually gets into his brain. But the split second that something even starts knocking, no, I'm not going there. I know where that's going, and I'm not even going past the first letter on that thought. Mm. Okay, as opposed to the person who's sort of like been thinking about it for a while, just suddenly stops and says, wait a minute, no, I'm not thinking about that. And he never willingly accepts upon himself to think about that thing. And for sure he would never do it. That's not even, that doesn't even need to be said. Oh, I feel a little dabber about to speak about it. Because a person who is willingly and wantingly thinking about doing something wrong, at that moment that he's doing that is called a rasha. V'habeinani ain a rasha fishak achas la'olam. And a beinani is never a rasha for one moment. V'kein bedvarim shebein adam l'cha. That's between him and God. That's all of his thoughts that he's doing. Okay? Now my grandmother used to say, my bubba used to say, that it's no big deal to be frum and shul. He's in shul, and you got the talus on your head, and you got the sitter, and you're shuckling, and you're davening over there, and everybody looks holy. It says, where is it that it's a kunst to be from, is how are you running your business? What are you doing out in the world?
What are you doing by yourself? Yeah, that's right.
So he says, and so too it is, v'dvarim shebein adam l'chaveroi. When you're talking about that, we were talking up till now, were sins between him and God. Do I care if you eat copious quantities of chocolate brownies or not? Not particularly. Doesn't affect me if you do. That's between you and God, how many brownies you're going to eat. Okay? But now, if a person is doing something to another person, it does affect them. Miyasha alalev le mahalev le mayach ezetina v'sinach asasholim. As soon as there comes up into his mind, some sort of competition, some kind of hatred, ezekina, jealousy, a kasa, kapeda, some sort of stringency against the person, some kind of anger, over domain, enin makabel klal b'mayach over at Sinai. He doesn't accept those.
Right.
Because you're not allowed to have any of those.
Right.
We for sure have two it doesn't say any place in the Torah you can't get angry. Thou shalt not be angry. No. But it does say you can't bear a grudge. It says you can't take revenge.
Right.
So those are things which are as a result of our thinking. That guy did that. I'm going to do this.
Right.
No, he's not. We're not thinking that. And why is the person getting angry? I mean, so at another person?
Because he doesn't like how God's running the world.
That's basically it. Okay, that's why it says many, many places that anger is like idolatry.
Right.
Because idolatry is there's God's not in charge. And anger is it's things aren't going the way that I want them to go because I want things to be that I want to be in charge, not God.
That's why they call it idolatry.
Correct. Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Okay.
They call it iPhone.
No, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Yes, but anyway.
That's, okay. The Avraham Lipsker has a vort that the word I has pluses and minuses.
Indeed.
The minus is that it's always capitalized. Whenever you're talking I,
agreed.
You're important.
Uh-huh.
You're capitalized.
Uh-huh.
But when you're in a list, the I is always last. You and
indeed.
I, he, indeed. She,
yes.
And I.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so a plus and a minus there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so because these are things that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to get angry at somebody. You're not allowed to hate anybody. It says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. Okay, that's what it says. In this last week's portion, you had a pasuk. Ki sira es chamar sainecha, raiv es tachas masai. When you see the donkey of your enemy, falling under its load.
Right.
So Reb Zusha of Anapoli couldn't get this one. Mm-hmm. He says, what's Sainacha? What does it mean, somebody that you don't like? He says, I don't understand that. What does it mean, somebody who you don't like? Somebody that you hate? What is that?
Yeah, he can't get there from here.
There's no such thing.
Yeah. Right.
How could there be such a thing? Somebody this is one of those mitzvahs that could never happen. Because how do you have a donkey of a person that you hate? You know?
Yeah.
So... Ain mekablin b'klal b'mayichay v'ratzaynay. Ba'adarabah, ha'mayach shalot o'meshul baruch shebaliboy. What happens on the contrary? His brain rules over his heart. This is one of the things that I counsel, probably of all the things that I counsel people about, this is probably the one that comes up more. I am really burnt up about what so-and-so has done to me. And many business people, this guy did this, he cheated me out of that, I am so burnt up over it. And the first thing I'll ask them is, do you think he's losing sleep about this whole thing? He says, no, he's sleeping fine, which burns me up even more. Okay? Yeah. So he's not losing sleep over it. Why should you be losing sleep over it?
Right.
You know? This is what the idea of letting go. Mm-hmm. That it shouldn't, and I tell people, if you are losing sleep because of something, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Okay, especially if it's involving another person.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, a jealousy, a hatred.
Sure.
It's all called sinas chinam. There's no such thing as sinas chinam means unwarranted hatred. You say, oh, but this is warranted hatred. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Okay, the expression in the Gemara is that you have to be meichel everybody. Mm. It says afilu misha kata es yadav. Even if a person cut off his hand, he still has to be Michael him. Because why? Because otherwise you're not going to go to sleep at night. Not him. The guy who cut off his hand, the guy who did the cutting, he's sleeping fine. This person who got his hand cut off, well, there's proper things that to do. You have to take him to court. You have to take him to Beis Din. And he has to pay, like he talks about in last week's Parsha, he has to pay for the limb, and he has to pay for pain and suffering, and he has to pay for time loss and doctor bills and the embarrassment of it and pain and suffering. So he's going to pay a lot of money because he did this. And once he does that mean you could hate the guy? No, you can't hate the guy. You have rachmanis for what? How could he do such a thing? Does that mean you have to sit down and become a drinking buddy with the guy? Also not.
You don't have to forgive him either.
No, you have to forgive him.
You do?
Yeah. Otherwise, you're bearing a grudge. Mm-hmm. And who has the problem now?
Yeah.
You do, because you're the one bearing the grudge. It's eating you up. Mm-hmm. So what good is it doing? Mm-hmm. It's eating you up.
That's right.
Okay, as he says, again, the major principle is the brain controls the heart. Las is a hepach mama should do exactly the opposite. You have to conduct yourself with this person with a love and a brotherhood more than before he had done it. And to deal with him at exactly the opposite end of the spectrum, v'lo l'cha'is b'chas ha'shalom. And never get angry at the guy. Gam sh'lo l'shalom lo k'poyle. And never to even try to like pay the guy back, chas ha'shalom. Ela adar ha'b'ligmol chasadim tevim. Tevis. But rather to even do good things for the person. K'mo sh'kos v'zayr l'umlo m'yosef imachav. He says he should learn from Joseph with his brothers. Here it is. It happens twice in this story.
Right.
Okay, first when they find out about it, and second after Yaakov dies. Mm. They come to him and say, we're sorry for what we did, and he says back to them, you didn't do anything.
Right.
This is all divine providence.
Right.
This person who has now one hand, say what you like and we can discuss it, but for some reason the Almighty determined that from this point on, he needs to have one hand.
Yeah.
And this person, okay, so he was the Yold who happened to be the messenger from Hashem. It could just as well have happened that the guy got his hand stuck in a machine and lost it.
Sure.
You know, anything could happen. I'm using such a graphic
example. No, but it's the reality.
Okay. Could have been somehow something. You could have gotten a disease and an infection, whatever. And they had to amputate. But who's going to get mad at them? Okay, for some reason, it's all divine providence that this happens. We see Yosef said, hey, look what happened. Okay, so you sold me. And I sat in jail for 13 years with no shower. Right, you know? Not a haircut, nothing. Okay? Yeah. He says, it's a shkacha pratis.
That's right.
Because like this, now Yaakov gets to come down with all kinds of comforts and like this. If we hadn't been, if you sold me, we'd all have come down. We would have all been brought in chains. And Yaakov would be spending the last year of his life making bricks.
Right.
So like this, he understood. Now, what it also says about Yosef is that he sent them off to Goshen to live. And he said, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. You have nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about anything financial. I'll pay all the bills.
Right.
And he sent them off to Goshen. And where was he? He was in the big city because he's running the country. After Yaakov died, he didn't have anything to do with his brothers.
Right. Said he never spoke to them again. Hmm.
Did he bear a grudge against them? No, it's not bearing a grudge. It's like it says, you don't have to become drinking buddies if the guy cuts off your hand. Chas v'shalom. But the idea of bearing a grudge is the feeling inside of you. Don't have the feeling because the feeling is just going to eat you up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to have anything to do with him? No. He's a yold. I don't have anything to do with him. I got better things, the more important things to do than associate myself with that person. To be continued.
Very good.
Indeed. Scarf.
No questions? Right. It's all clear? If you don't ask questions, it means two things. Either you got it totally or you haven't got it at all.
So. Did you say that you were supposed to treat him better than you did before he did?
He says over there, not to do him bad, but even on the contrary, to even do good things for the guy. You can't get back at the guy.
Of course, not to pay revenge, but I mean to do better to him, to do better to someone.
There's a tremendous release.
Would that be like
right,
making more of a friendship with him, or
not necessarily. Gemel chassidim could mean you give the guy a loan. You know, the guy needs charity. You know, this type of stuff.
A kind word.
Yeah, you don't have to be his good buddy.
Yeah, right. even a kind word is gemilus chesed. Especially when you have a bad relationship.
You see the guy in the store and you say hello, how are you, and that's it. You know, yeah. So that type of a thing.
Well, that's okay.